Thanks. Today we are considering what it means to be single. Our emotional response to the word and status may be negative. If it doesn't go, I'll do it at home.
No, it's fine. It's working.
May be negative, positive, or variable, depending on conditions in our lives. Rather than look for answers in the media or the popular press, this seminar seeks to examine singleness in the light of Christian tradition and the Bible. I'll start with a quote. All human beings are alone. No other person will completely feel like we do, think like we do, act like we do. Each of us is unique, and our aloneness is the other side of our uniqueness. The question is whether we let our aloneness become loneliness or whether we allow it to lead us into solitude. Loneliness is painful. Solitude is peaceful. Loneliness makes us cling to others in desperation. Solitude allows us to respect others in their uniqueness and create community. Letting our aloneness grow into solitude and not into loneliness is a lifelong struggle. It requires conscious choices about whom to be with, what to study, how to pray, and when to ask for counsel. But wise choices will help us to find the solitude where our hearts can grow in love. These words were written by Henri Nouwen, a Dutch priest. As a priest in the Catholic Church, he took a vow of celibacy and spent his whole life as a single man. There's no evidence that he broke his vow, but he searched with integrity to find intimacy, community, and the best way to lead a single life. His interests were psychology, pastoral ministry, spirituality, social justice, and community. He began by teaching in academic institutions. Later, he went to work with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities at L'Arche Daybreak Community in Canada, founded by another great 20th century single Christian, Jean Vanier. He ended his days paired with a core member of L'Arche, Adam Arnett, with profound developmental disabilities, and insisted, "It is I, not Adam, who gets the main benefit from our friendship." He had indeed learned to love and to be loved in return. People like these show that a Christian who remains single can live a productive and loving life. They are a great encouragement to those of us who remain single in the same way. However, for every person, as the quotation from Henri Nouwen emphasizes, there is a singleness because of our uniqueness. Until marriage, everyone is single. Others become single because of divorce or the death of their spouse. In Oslo, I have read 60% of households are for one person, and although not as extreme, our society reflects too the upward trend in singleness. Singleness, therefore, concerns us all, because we have all been single, may become single, or know someone who is single. From the beginning of our lives, we have the gift of singleness and virginity. This virginity is precious to us and to God, not worth frittering away in so-called one-night stands. Chapter 7 of the Book of Proverbs presents an amusing but sad picture of a foolish young man going out at twilight to seek gratification of the flesh. The seductress is there to entice him. I quote, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose until an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost his life." The daughter of Jephthah in the Old Testament prized her virginity. Her story in the book of Judges is that her father promised God that he would sacrifice to him the first living thing he met if he gave him victory over his enemies. To his horror, as he came home, his daughter stepped over the threshold of his house with dancing and tambourines. Such was the fear of God. Both agreed that she must die a virgin, and at her request, she spent 2 months roaming the hills with her friends because she would never marry. For some time after, the young woman would spend 4 days each year commemorating her sacrifice. The ideal of virginity was popular in the early days of the church, and many a young woman resisted her parents' plans that she should marry. Now it is a word rarely heard, and perhaps the church needs to offer this calling again. As you know, or most of you know, I entered a religious community aged 22 and spent 17 years there. Both in my order and in the male orders I worked with, I found many fine Christians. Our inspiration came from the saints, theology, and the Bible. It is sad that because a few celibate people have done wrong, that others are dismissed as lacking and strange. Indeed, they are not. As someone said, looking at the life of Sister Wendy Beckett, you could not find a more balanced and fulfilled person. She spent much of her life in prayer. She was a great art historian and shared her wisdom and knowledge on television. She indeed had a full life, and so did many others. The three communities I worked with founded colleges, schools, and clinics in Africa, training up a new generation for each country and establishing dioceses by training clergy. Their houses were always places of rest, refreshment, and good counsel to those who visited for a short stay. They could do so much in diverse places because in community, the work of daily living is shared. Wherever they worked, they worshiped God and prayed daily. Now, in the 21st century, these communities are adjusting to new ways of living for the next generation. And most of them are emphasizing hospitality and giving people a place of rest and quiet. At present, there are fewer vocations to live a life of celibacy, but it is worth considering again, because it is a great mystery, actually. We are all mystery people, aren't we, to ourselves and to God. And there's two quotations I'd like to share with you. One from Revelation: no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. And for the ladies, this side, this quote from the Psalms: all glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her and are brought to you. They are led in with joy and gladness. They enter the palace of a king. And I think they're saying singleness offers us a closeness to God, an integration with Jesus Christ that those who are married don't experience in this world, because he, Jesus, was single. In case you are thinking I'm raising virginity higher than marriage, here's this other passage, which I think you'll know. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So the ultimate destiny for all of us is the marriage between God and man, and that love of which we have this simile, that it will be as a bride is in love with her husband and her husband with her bride, so will be the final love of God with us humankind. St. Paul in prison, writing to the Ephesians, also explained the same truth. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one can ever hate his own body, for he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. In the end, then, whether we're married or single, we are all one in Christ. So, on a more practical level, some more ideas. The church has a special place in the lives of all single people, because it's there that we meet people from the whole spectrum of human life. They are the babies and the parents who come for baptism, the young children who need our encouragement to enjoy discovering Christian life, our contemporaries who share our background, others whose experience we can draw on, and so on. Rich and poor, young and old, we all share fellowship and events together. The church contains all walks of life. We just need to draw near to each other in respect and love, creating an atmosphere of openness where each can express their needs for prayer and grow in faith. Services, groups, and courses are the main means used to facilitate this. So we create community when we meet, a community of love and togetherness. Our hope is that all who are baptized in Christ are united finally as the bride of Christ. Marriage will be no more. This is an awesome thought, reminding us that earthly bodily life is precious and unique for each of us. The Bible teaches us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, where he indwells. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you are received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Such strengthening words when we face temptation. I realize this line of thought I have developed is countercultural. The mass media puts out quite a different line. As a result, there are some books I cannot read and some TV programs I cannot watch. The best thing I have found is to get on with my vocation to be single. The following verse gives guidance on how to live positively. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. So that's a high ideal for everyone who finds himself single. But what does Jesus say about all this in his compassionate love and complete understanding of every human condition? In this account in the Gospel, his disciples had just said to him, it's better not to marry than encounter issues like marital unfaithfulness and adultery. Jesus replies, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. So we live in a fallen world. and damage occurs in all areas of life, including the sexual. Jesus is saying, whatever your background, however much you have been hurt or abused, whatever relationship has fallen apart, there is room in my kingdom. Forgetting the past, he says, come, serve with me in my kingdom of love as a single person. There are echoes of this thought in the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesies, let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths, who chooses what pleases me and holds fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Some of the people with the greatest servant hearts I have known are widows. They serve with vigour in our churches, but also outside, in most imaginative ways as well. I can think of people who help young mothers bring up children, who see needs in the community that others are not aware of. They take flowers and cards to those in need of comfort and strength. They cook meals for new arrivals or those returning from hospital. They provide lifts. They give of their substance to the Lord's work, just as the women in the New Testament did. To them, the whole church and community is their family, and they pray for them. It's a great work to keep praying when the answer is delayed or God acts in a different way, but they do. They live positively. Above all, they come to worship God among the fellowship of believers. One danger is to think that single people have lots of time to help others. In fact, this is rarely true, because a single person has to do and see to everything in the home, and there is often no one to share the burden. This is where the church as a family can have a positive vision. Don't be pressurized by this idea, but perhaps there is a local single person who is just right for being part of your bigger family. It is about meals, where an extra plate at the table is not difficult, but there are other ways of sharing too, like inviting your single friend to share an outing or a walk. But it's not all, but nor is it always about just giving to a single person. Single people can help a family too. Perhaps they can babysit or collect something for you from the chemist or post office. It's all about the give and take of vital living relationships, which we trust that we build up in our church family and beyond. I could look at myself as a single person and say to myself, have I cultivated relationships of love? Have I contributed to the well-being of others? Am I in love and charity with all? Or are there grudges, irritations, resentments, envies and jealousies I need to take to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness and the infilling of his love? Those little sins I just mentioned are called the little foxes that spoil the vines. And we were quite aware of that in community. They're just little niggles, not great big sins, but little niggles that really spoiled our relationship. So that's why in community we always had provision for going to confess our sins and have forgiveness and a new start. And forgiveness is such a strong power. At some point in our lives, we learn that no one is perfect. The church is a place where this is fully understood, because we acknowledge we're all sinners needing God's mercy and grace to grow in faith and knowledge of God and of his ways and the way he's calling us to live. What a wonderful truth of forgiveness we have to accept more deeply perhaps, and to share with those around us, modeling an attractive kingdom lifestyle where all are forgiven and given a new start every day if we need it. One thing we all long for is intimacy with someone with whom we can share our secret thoughts. A basic provision of the faith are those who are recognized as spiritual counselors and ministers. These wise people can often release us by a word or provide guidance for the future, emanating from their relationship with God. And it's true also that all of us can be part of this listening ministry too, as and when God uses us. In the ordinary run of life, there is friendship. The friends I have always watch and observe what is going on in my life. They are there for me, and usually over a cup of tea we can chat, find encouragement and vigour to go on, and find both our lives are enriched. Sometimes I return the favour, and I provide a listening ear. Single people can have strong and positive friendships. It is really life-affirming to have someone who understands. In the Bible, I think of Jonathan, the son of King David. He understood that David, not himself, would succeed Saul as king in God's plan. Instead of enemies, they became best of friends, and Jonathan did all he could to help and warn David when his father sought to kill him. These were both married men, but they are a wonderful example of true friendship. This is what David said when news arrived that Jonathan had been killed in battle. "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love to me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women." And finally, I turn to the history. Aelred of Rivo, he was a great abbot in Yorkshire. He wanted to show the monks the friendship in community would give them an outlet for their love. He wrote a series of dialogues about this in his treatise on friendship. What he was doing was giving an example that it's good to talk about being single, the positive as well as the more difficult side. We are not 12th century Yorkshire monks, but reading his book, which is quite difficult, reminded me that it's good to talk and share our thoughts, which is how I would like to end this seminar.
Thank you.